Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away, away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew right spirit within me. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me. Creating me a clean heart, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew within me.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Jess, for the worship. And welcome to the house of the Lord. We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for granting us once again this privilege, this blessed opportunity to be gathered in your house as your people. Standing in your presence is a privilege that we can never underestimate, O Lord, because many didn't have that opportunity to be invited, and most especially to be admitted in your presence, O Lord. Heavenly Father, though there's no restriction into coming into your presence, but many have shut that voice in their hearts, O Lord. Many have silenced that voice with many substitutes just to please themselves, O Lord. But you have put something in us that couldn't quench that thirst in us except coming into your presence. That's why, as we are standing, O Lord, we believe, Heavenly Father, that you have a portion for each and every one of us. Because as long as we are in this body, as long as we are in this world, we still need you, O Lord. We still have needs that are unmet, O Lord. That's why we come renewing our energy, our force, to the source of energy, you, our powerhouse, O Lord. Grant us now the privilege, the benefit of being in your presence by filling us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, by filling us with your presence in our hearts, O Lord, because, O Lord, it's something that will never be satisfied, being filled, because we have still some space to be filled of you, O Lord. There's still some room to conquer in us, O Lord. That's why let us, when we leave, we come out of this place, be much closer to you than we were when we came, O Lord. Bless your people. Bless the Sunday school upstairs. Bless our pastor in Serbia and all the team that went with him. Bless Brother Wilmo in Turkey and many other brethren we have traveled, O Lord. Wherever they are, keep and protect them, O Lord. Bless our gathering. Bless our prayer. Bless our offerings. Bless, O Lord, our worship, and grant us the deepest desire of our hearts. As we open now the word, read for us, speak to us, and listen to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Let's open Exodus 20, 1 to 3, and then Mark 12, 28 to 30. Exodus 20, 1 to 3. God bless you once again. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Mark 12, 28 to 30. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So today we are just going to share a little thought that we had regarding worship and idolatry. Amen. We're just going to introduce. Maybe one day we're going to speak, expand more on it. But we just want to draw our attention on things of our everyday life. To know exactly in some of the things we do, and we take it as, you know, our normal life, we take it as our normal way of life, but we want to draw our attention on worship and idolatry, because some of the things we do, God is a, he says he's a jealous God. Some of the things we do in life, believing that it's just normal way of life, but let's see where we put God, in comparison to some of the things we do in life. And we may have become idolaters already. We may have put something before God, still not knowing that we are worshiping something instead of God. Still not knowing that we have fallen in idolatry. Amen. So we just want to draw our attention. The aim is not to, we are all, you know, guilty of some of these things. But we need just to remind ourselves and put back God first in our life, in his position. Because in Israel, the first thing in the Old Testament, even any true practicing Jew today, when even out of his sleep, when you ask him, the first thing, you know, it is written in the house, hear Israel, the Lord our God is the only God. That's the first and the foremost command of them. He must come first in everything. It is written on their arms. It is written on their chest. It is put everywhere. Even when you see the Orthodox Jews with those things they put on here, the things they wear there, inside there, one of the things that is written there, and one of the first, hear Israel, the Lord our God is one, and there is no other before him. He must come first. Amen. So the prophet, knowing that, Brother Branham, knowing that, he warned us at one stage that we shouldn't fall in idolatry. He says in Be Certain of God. And one might ask me to retrace what I have just said. He's speaking about Ahab and Jezebel, how Israel had fallen in idolatry. That is a very likely picture of today. We may not think that we are idol worshippers, but we are. And the government endorses it. People today are idol worshippers because they worship idols. Some of them worship movie stars. Some worship money. And some worship television stars. But all that you put before God is an idol. Amen. All that you put before God is an idol. Let it be whatever it may be. If you just stop there and start now to examine our lives, no one here will raise his hand and say, I'm not an idol worshiper. Because if you just see how many things we put before God in our lives. You know, that time when Brother Branham was preaching in 59, he could just say television stars, amen, because that was the technology that time. But he, if he has to preach the sermon today, the list will be very long. Amen. The list will be very, very long. Because if Brother Branham could speak about television that time, but comparing television in 59 and what the internet is today, I think Brother Branham will say, will bless you for having a TV. It's not a joke. If he comes in your house and find a TV and find the internet, he'll say, I bless you for having a TV in your house. Shut the internet. Because TV, even today, TV, there's still, you know, some control. Because there's limitation in TV. If there's it's football, it's football. If you want to watch, it's only football that is there. Watch it. But this thing, you know, oh no. It's almost unlimited. Where you can go, what you can do, what you can see. So basically, that's why, you know, even today, I say, people, they say, oh, no TV in the house. We don't have a TV. They condemn you for even, I don't encourage anyone to have a TV. I don't encourage anyone because that's the word. But the internet is worse than TV. Amen. It's even worse. You know, the TV now is just a little box here. In that little square box, rectangular box, you have TV, you have more than TV. You have everything. So don't take TV only as that box with whatever you call it. But you have a TV that has channels. And the devil is cunning. He doesn't call it channels to shut our minds. He calls it apps. Amen. He calls it apps. So when you know apps, it's not channels. But in those apps, you have BBC. Amen. You have RTE. you have Arte, you have NBC, whatever you call it. So the one who have that big 75-inch, he can only have BBC and Channel 4 and Al Jazeera. But you have all that plus more. Amen. And that thing has become, have taken place, the place of God in our lives. Just examine yourself. When you wake up in the morning, what do you do first? Amen. Most of us, you go there, check. What did they say? Ah, okay. Harry and Meghan. Huh? We know it, you know. It's something that we need really. There's no wrong in checking the news. There's nothing wrong in, you know, following current affairs, checking your emails, checking this. There's nothing wrong in that. But where do you put God in comparison to all that? When you wake up in the night, what do you do? Do you pray? Do you think of God? Or you check your phone to see if that last message you were expecting from such and such has come true? Just imagine. The prophet says, whatever you put before God is an idol. Whatever it may be. Even to Satan, our great adversary, is such a smart person. Until he even puts sometimes the church before God. Amen. You may say, okay, phone for me is not a big deal. TV is not a big deal. I go to church. But you may be an idolater in the church. Amen. Because we put the church before God. We come here to meet God. Sometimes the devil knows. That's why he just takes a church and makes it an idol for you to start worshiping. Because when we come to church, the first person that we should lift up is God. Amen. But we have become sometimes fanatics of our pastors. We have become sometimes fanatics of our, you know, deacons, of the church itself. The church can take a lead, a way, and certain options that are against the word. Because this is God, and the church comes underneath God. The church must follow the leadership of God. Amen. The pastor must follow the leadership of God. But we have found now believers, Christians, they go to church and the pastor does things, they make decisions that are against the word, and the church supports it. Amen. And the church supports it. Why? Because it is our pastor. You are an idolater. Because everything that comes on top of God, everything you put before God is an idol. Even your church may become an idol. Amen. That's why we need to draw your attention. My brother, my sister, sometimes even the Bible, don't get me wrong, it can become your idol. Because this is paper and ink. The word is inside. Get the revelation. Because people in the past, they burned these Bibles. But did they burn the word? No. So pay attention, because the devil is so cunning that you may think that as long as I have my Bible there, I'm right with God. It may become just an idol that you carry with you. But the Bible must be a revelation. You must become one with this Bible, the Bible in you, so much that even if they take it away from you, but they don't kill the word in you. That's right. Amen. Let me talk about something. Don't get me wrong on it. The pictures in our houses, they may become idols. Amen. Because God is not in the picture. These pictures here, if you take them as, you see them as God. No. God is spirit. These are testimonies. Amen. These are testimonies of what God has done for us today. But I've seen believers, you know, if the picture is not in the house, it feels like, no, I'm going to die. No, God is not, we can burn this picture. I'm reverent to them, you know. But people can burn them. I've seen people selling peanuts in booklets, message booklets, you know, back in Africa. They say they take booklets, the message, die, what? They say peanuts and you go. Did they kill the word? No. So don't take these pictures as your God. These are testimonies. But God is more than the pictures. God is more than the booklets. God is the spirit. God is a revelation. And you must eat that revelation. You must eat the book and become one with the book. Otherwise, you are just an idolater. Because the day they will take that book and go with it, you say, they've taken out away my God. Amen. So let's just be really careful on that. Especially because the other things, as believers, if we speak about TV, we are conscious. We'll make some effort and try to conform. Phone, we'll pray God will help us. I know many, God has helped them, that they are not as much addicted as they were before. You can pray, God can help you. But when the devil now hide behind what you consider as connecting you with God, the devil, when he impersonates himself in that, is very hard to discern. And he can keep you under an induced coma. Amen. He can keep you. You are a doctor, brother. I may misplace the term. But, you know, it's something that we need to be very careful about. So, he can put the church before God. You might have a great church. It may be a great building. Or it may be a great denomination. And again, it may be a great congregation. But let nothing come before God in your heart. Anything in before God is an idol. Amen. Let's talk about money. Amen. Because we have spoken about mobile phones. As I said, we can expand. It's a big topic, but we just want to shorten it to give you something to go with. Money may become an idol to many of us, and is one of the biggest traps. Because I don't want to talk about one aspect of money. Because most of the time, us believers, we think money, I think I mentioned it once here, money is a danger only to the rich people. That's what we think. That if I'm Bill Gates and if I have 5 million, money is something that I need to be careful about. But money is a danger even when you don't have it. You know, even when you don't have money, because for some people they kill themselves just because they don't have money. Amen. So managing money is not only when you have it. It's even when you don't have money. Because when you don't have money, it may lead you to becoming jealous. Amen. Why do robbers kill people? Is it because they have money? No, it is because they don't have money. And in their, hunt to get money, They didn't leave their house to go and kill. They didn't leave their house to go and get some money. But anyone they find in their way between them and money, they need to get rid of it. Amen. So money, whether you have it or you don't have it, you just need to be careful about money. Because when you don't have money, it will push you to do things sometimes to put God aside. You want to take that extra shift unnecessarily. While there's a church on Sunday, on Friday, you are free to accept or not, but you say, because I don't have money, let me just take this extra shift. Amen. It becomes your idol. So be careful, because most of the time we say, I'm not rich, so money is not a problem for me. No. Even in your poverty, you are still worshipping money. Let's just be careful about that. Even when you are poor, your lack of money make you to become a money worshipper. Because, as the Bible says, money is the root of every evil, the love of money. It's not only when you have it, it's even when you don't have it. So let's be careful on that. In our hunt for money, we just need to put God first. We need money to pay our bills. We need money to do this and that. But let God come always first. Your family may also become your idol. You know that? Yes. Because anything that comes before God, I'm not sending anyone to neglect their family. But God must come first. Amen. Remember Abraham. God told him, leave your family. If Abraham's family was more important than God, Abraham wouldn't have left his family. Because he got that revelation that God must come first. Even if God tells me to leave my family for his sake, I'm going to leave my family. Amen? Amen. Don't be afraid, baby. I'm not going tomorrow. But we don't have the time to read it. It's Genesis 12:1. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham, separate yourself. Leave your father. Leave your mother. Leave your family. And the Bible says Abraham left. Amen. Amen. The disciples. Jesus found someone fishing. Hey, come and follow me.
Amen.
They forsook everything. That's why later on Peter could ask Jesus, what about us? We have forsaken our families. What will I get as a reward? So they put God first. And God took care of their families. Amen. So they didn't take their families as idols. There's so many things we can talk about. I'm just going to read a few quotes. And we are going to stop there. He began to think, sitting in the warm sun, that is talking about the blind Bartimaeus. He had gathered up his ragged coat around him, which he could not afford a new one. He was a provider for his family. He thought of his family first before himself. That's a good father, you know. Any real true dad or husband must do that. That's another topic. You find the brother is always in nice suits, you know, and his wife there lacking even a pair of shoes. And his children in rags, you know. That's another topic for another day. Any real true dad will do that. Any real true husband will do that. Any Christian will think of others before himself. Every Christian tries to put God first. His family second. He is number three. Amen. God first. Your family shouldn't come before God. You have to put God first. Otherwise, your family becomes your idol. If you are first, then you are your own idol. And God will destroy you for doing that. Amen. There's more that can be said, but our time is up. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you once again for granting us to speak about these things, which, as we said, may just be considered as small topics and things that we do every day. But thanking you, Lord, for awakening our awareness to consider our ways, because anytime your word comes, it comes to correct, it comes to remind us of who we are, and what we should do, and what position we should take regarding your word. Bless your people, O Lord. Let us meditate upon these things, and let us become better Christians. Bless now the rest of the service, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.